Okay. Thank you. So I will call this meeting to order on November 11th, 2021 at 18:05. And I will give the land acknowledgement. It is not in the agenda, but I can give the one that we give at XCOM since I can't seem to find it. One second, y'all. Sorry about this. Okay. The S Student Society of McGill University acknowledges that McGill University is situated on the traditional and unceded territory of the Anishinaabeg and Haudenosaunee nations. This move recognizes and respects these nations as the true and constant custodians of the lands and waters on which we meet today. Further, the SMU commits to and respects the traditional laws and customs of these territories. Today is also Remembrance Day, so we will take a moment of silence where you can meditate, pray, just kind of think about what Remembrance Day means to you. So we will start that minute now. Okay, thank you everybody. So just before we get started on attendance, please make sure that your name is changed to counselor and your last name and any preferred pronouns if you wish to disclose them. If you are a proxy, make sure you write like proxy. And if you are a member at large, please also write that you are a member at large and then the name that you wish to be called by. If at any point your preferred pronouns may change, you can contact the governance manager at governance.smu.ca so we can make the changes in the minutes so it's properly reflected. Amazing. With that in mind, Councillor Kusa.
Present.
Councillor Javed.
Present.
Councillor Gurung.
Present.
Councillor Holton.
I'm here as a proxy.
Oh, great. Thank you. Councillor Jusu.
I'm the proxy for the athletics rep tonight.
Great. Thank you. Councillor Awan.
Present.
Councillor Dakduki.
Present.
Councillor Yu.
Present.
Thank you. Councillor Liao.
Present.
Councillor Pelletier.
Present.
Councillor Bellia. Councillor Bellia. Alrighty, Councillor Pouquet.
Here, present.
Councillor Applegate.
Her proxy is present.
Thank you. Councillor Desrochers.
Present.
Councillor Saad.
Present.
Councillor Zhang. Councillor Zhang. Councillor Wan.
Present.
Councillor Kodadadi.
Kodadadi, I'm Addie, I'll be proxying for her.
Okay, great. Councillor Ailey. Councillor Ailey. Councillor Damore.
Present.
Councillor Zveris. Councillor Zveris. Okay. Councillor Camus.
Present.
Councillor Clausey.
Present.
Councillor Tiniakos.
Present.
Councillor Claret.
Yeah, present.
Vice President Downey.
Present.
Vice President Jose Cubillo.
Present.
Vice President Delouvrier.
Ici présent.
And Vice President Sater is currently on vacation, so he will not be joining us today. Alrighty, thank you everyone. So we'll move on to point five. So the agenda has been distributed and stands before you as so. Are there any changes that wish to be made? And if not, is there a motion to adopt? Yes, Vice President Downey.
A motion to adopt the agenda as distributed.
Perfect. Is there a second? Councillor Cusa?
Seconded.
Thank you. Any oppositions? Lovely. So the agenda stands approved. We'll now move to point 6 minutes for approval. So the minutes have been distributed and can be found on the shared drive. Are there any modifications that you guys have noticed? If there are none, is there a motion to approve them? Councillor Cusa?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Perfect. Second, Councillor Saad?
Yep, seconded.
Great. Any opposition? Amazing. The minutes stand approved. We now do the report of the steering committee. As Alex is not here, I will be presenting the motion. The minutes, sorry. Let me just pull them up real quick. Okay. So in attendance were the speaker, the governance manager, the parliamentarian, VP internal, and Councillor Cusa and Councillor Javed. We talked about the changes that are going to happen for the dates of Legislative Council. These were passed, so we'll only be meeting once a month next semester, except for the two last meetings that are going to be 2 weeks apart, just so we can have a total of 4 meetings. Alex once again gives his most sincere regrets for his absence. There will be a short confidential session at the end of tonight. So just a reminder of that. But if not, that is the report of the steering committee. Are there any questions? Lovely. Okay. So EMA motion that was passed this week was to extend the referendum polling period until Monday, November 15th. At 5 p.m. I appreciate all of your quick responses to get that passed. Referendum is going very well, getting lots of votes in, and we look forward to seeing the results on Monday. Alrighty, we'll now move into point 8, announcements. So we're gonna start by a statement from the executives, and if there are any other announcements to make later, I will take them. So I'm going to give the statement. You guys are going to be hearing my voice a lot tonight. I will just start. Dear council members, staff, and members of the gallery, the executive committee has prepared a brief statement to address some questions that were raised in the past few days. First and foremost, I would like to apologize if any communications that I have made have given the impression that the SMU is not a transparent organization. My intentions were only to ensure that any inquiries were directed to the correct parties. Obviously, the SMU Executive Committee believes that transparency is of the utmost importance when representing the student body. That being said, the SMU is a student union, but also an employer to many staff, students, and service members. As such, the SMU has processes in place to address the media where employees direct any public questions or requests to the Executive Committee. This is a policy intended to avoid misrepresentation of the SMU and to ensure that the parties who address media on behalf of the SMU are the individuals who are best equipped to discuss a subject matter. It is also important that responses to media inquiries respect our legal and fiduciary duties. In regards to the SMU president's absence, we are unable to provide further detail on this matter as employee information is confidential. We'd like to assure you that the executive committee has divided the president's portfolio accordingly to ensure that we continue to provide support and representation to our membership. The executive team is responsible for ensuring that we hold ourselves accountable and that the legislative council holds us accountable too. We appreciate and understand the importance of transparency and accountability, and we will continue to work together as a team to provide the best quality of service to our membership in all various aspects of our work on campus. Towards the campus media, I want to personally apologize not only for the emails I sent, but for what they implied. I understand that the mandate of the media is to investigate and shed light on important issues on campus, and I apologize for my participation and attempting to stop journalists from doing their job. So on behalf of the executive committee, I thank you for your time tonight and look forward to our future interactions and for you to enjoy the rest of Legislative Council. So that was the statement that I wanted to read tonight. If there are any other announcements, please raise your hands and I will start the 5 minutes. Yes, Vice President Downey.
Yeah, so I originally had two announcements for tonight, but Eric is on vacation. So just if any questions come up of a financial matter, the rest of us will try our best. But unfortunately, we are not VP finances like him, and we may just have to postpone questions of a financial nature to future meetings. The second announcement is, as people may be aware, the University Affairs portfolio works on the free menstrual products program on campus. And we're currently looking for individuals to help support. I don't want to say committee because it's not going to be as formal as some of the groups here, but we're looking for a small group of people to help us set budgeting priorities and sort of plan for the vision of this initiative. So if this seems like something that would interest you, please feel free to get in touch with me. We're just looking for more voices so that we can best guide how the project's going to look for the next coming years. So just please feel free to email me if this is something that interests you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Vice President Downey. Are there any other announcements at this time? Lovely. We will then move on to questions. So we have quite a few questions that were sent in from councillors and constituents. And we're going to start with Councillor Liao's question, which is directed towards the VP student life, but can be answered by any other executive. So the question is, why are the dance studios still inaccessible whilst the gymnasiums and training rooms are open on campus? Go for it, VP student life.
Can I answer that? Could you clarify, Councillor Liao, dance studios, what that means?
From what I've been, my apologies.
It's okay, Councillor Liao, you can go.
I have a few constituents in my faculty that have mentioned that there were dance studios in the gymnasium in, I think it's Curry Gym. And I've been told that they don't have access to that and that they've been wondering why are they not open when other athletic faculties are open there.
So essentially, we only have jurisdiction over the university center. So we have the ballroom, all the other book over rooms. When it comes to booking with McGill University, we have no power or say with how the regulations will go about. So all those external bookings go with McGill, and there are representatives from each faculty that help with that. So I can't give further reasons on why, because we only manage the university center and 35 WPL.
Great, sorry about that, Councillor Liao. So we move on to the next question. So these are questions from constituents. So the first question is for the executive committee. So SMU do not appoint a student representative to serve in the president's place during October 7th Board of Governors meeting. Why is this? And does the SMU executive have a plan in place to ensure that the student rep is present at future board meetings? Vice President Downey.
Yeah, I can answer this. So just since there's a formal process to ensure eligibility on the Board of Governors that needed to be adhered to, it did just take us some time to appoint another executive to sit on the board. I have since been the executive appointed, and I'm looking forward to sitting on Board of Governors and advocating for students and their needs on campus until the end of the president's leave.
Okay, thank you, Vice President Downey. We move on to our next question. So Can the council please explain the exact parameters of stipulation 25 of the SMOOS employees manual under the internal policy section? It reads, employees are not permitted to address the media and must direct any public request or questions to the general manager and the president. Is the employee manual binding or simply a guideline? If no other executive wants to take it, I can answer this question. Our employee manual is binding. You have to sign it. So yes, it is binding, to answer your question. The next question is, what was the issue with the referendum questions? Why did I receive multiple emails and why did I have to re-vote? Yes, Vice President Downey.
I'm happy to answer this unless anybody else is dying to. I don't want to take this from anyone else. But it was like pretty simple. There was an issue, an error with a ballot question that just didn't need rectifying. We became aware of the error within a few hours of the release of the ballot with all the referenda questions. And then we took steps to correct the omission by updating it to reflect the correct information. We understand that this poses an inconvenience to students and that it's annoying, like you get enough emails, but we hope that everyone will take a minute to vote again because it is important with the understanding that this was necessary to ensure that the referendum period was conducted fairly and properly. I hope that helps.
Thank you, VP Downey. If there are any like follow-up questions after, like we're extending question period, so you guys can ask any questions then. Yes, Councillor Javed.
Oh my God. Personal privilege. Is this the time for councillors to ask questions?
Yeah, after this. So we're going to go through the questions that were sent in beforehand, and then after anyone in the room can ask questions. For Sarah Pollan, that is me. I am casual staff and I have experienced toxicity in SMU. Do you realize that by sending emails to campus media employees to stay silent, you reinforced and provoked how true and systematic silence in SMU is? Do you think this is an abuse of power? Good question. So employees of the SMU have a duty to respect the confidentiality of information that they receive. So our comments were not at all meant to silence people, but rather to ensure that the questions are being answered by the person best equipped to provide information, as I mentioned earlier. So the SMU executive must also ensure that any representation made on behalf of SMU respects all legality and fiduciary duties. So I hope that answers your question. In addition, like our intentions were only to protect the confidentiality of information to respect SMU's legal duties, but I didn't mean to silence them or to prevent them from writing their story. While my choice of words were not perfect, my concern was focused on the staff, and I have definitely learned from this experience and will try to ensure that we have an open and transparent communication with the SMU members in the media while attempting to respect our fiduciary duties. All right, next question for the speaker, which I will be taking in his stead since as he's not here to answer this question. So the question is, as chair of the accountability committee, you are in charge of ensuring that counselors and executives are meant to be held accountable. How do you explain Dario Nanda's absence, and has accountability committee measures been implemented by the committee? There has been a lack of participation from the student body lately. So the accessibility committee has not been able to meet, as members at large have not applied. As well, the speaker can't comment on such matters as he's an employee and this does not fall under his supervision, as I mentioned at the beginning of this meeting. But we are still recruiting members at large for the accountability committee. So if you're interested in joining, we definitely encourage you to reach out to the speaker or the parliamentarian. Next question, also for the speaker. How exactly are you involved and uninterested? This was quoted from the Daily article. If so, have you considered resignation because one would expect you to be interested in accountability and affairs of SMU? I spoke to Alex, and what the speaker wished to express here is that he did not wish to mix himself in the debate of the Student Society of McGill and rather act as an impartial mediator in meetings, which is in his job description. So the speaker does not have any decision-making power. His responsibilities lie solely in ensuring debate is respectful and in line with our policies. So I hope that answers your question. to the executives. Since you have restricted both the media and employees from talking about this, you have silenced us once again. I have no choice but to ask questions through this anonymous form. My question is, what are you trying to cover up? Are you covering a mess that you've created? Are these efforts to protect the president's privacy, or is it to cover your secrecy? Anyone who wishes to speak on this matter? Yes, Vice President Downey.
Yeah, I'm happy to, but again, if anyone else on the team has anything to add, please let me know. I hope that the SMU membership can understand that we have legal and fiduciary duties that do require a great deal of confidentiality. As we've discussed earlier today, the SMU is a workplace, but also a student union. We understand and we encourage our membership to be interested in the work by elected representatives, but as an employer, and as SMU members are, or as SMU executives are elected and we become supervisors of other staff, we are legally obligated to respect the privacy of employees. And this isn't, this does not exclude executives. So we do still have to respect the privacy of other elected executives. Confidentiality is just really important here to permit open and honest exchanges within our workplace. We hope everyone understands this.
Thank you, Vice President Downey. Next question, and before last question. If you expect cooperation to cover up secrecy, we ask for your resignations. What we expect from you is to be transparent and be held accountable for your actions and attitudes towards those who pay for your salary and elect you to office. How do you propose to be more transparent and democratic? Vice President Downey.
Sorry, sounding like a broken record here. But we very much understand the desire for information about an employee's work, including elected representatives. But as a workplace, we do have to respect the confidentiality of an employee, both legally and ethically. We know that this probably isn't a satisfying answer, but it's currently the only one that we're able to give. If there becomes information that we can share with the general public, please rest assured that we will share it as soon as we can.
Thank you, Vice President Downey. And the final question goes to the counselors. So any and all of you can answer if you want to. So are you in favor of the executives treating employees and media outlets in such demeaning and belittling ways? Do you have confidence in the society's executives? If not, what actions are you going to take to make them accountable? Is it a vote of no confidence? Is it the dissolution of the SMU? So if you guys need a second to think about it. I will give like 15 seconds to see if anyone wants to answer. Yes, Councillor Saad.
Thanks. I guess I could speak on behalf of myself and management, not all the other councillors, but I mean, we're definitely here to do our jobs and represent our constituents. We would like to have confidence in the executive, and we're definitely all working together, I think, as one legislative council, to make sure that everything's running smoothly. I don't think it's a counselor versus executive situation, as was kind of phrased in the question, but I think we all just kind of want to see things run smoothly. So we will definitely be holding each other to account, and yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to answer this question? All right, so I will now open the floor to any questions that counselors or gallery members might have. The question period will be, as usual, I'll extend it by 5 minutes, as we've already done 20 minutes, but there can always be a motion to extend. Councillor Kusa.
Yes, so, heard a motion regarding the adoption of Divest for Human Rights policy approved at the GA, at Consultative Forum, and then at LC. The SMU is mandated to advocate for the Divest for Human Rights McGill Coalition. What has the executive team done, specifically the UA and external affairs portfolios, knowing that the policy will remain in effect for a period of 5 years, from February 2021 until May 1st, 2026. The policy haven't been in effect for 9 months, which is approximately 15% of the duration of the policy.
Sorry, Councillor Kusa, is there a question?
Yeah. That's my question was, what have they done?
Thank you. Wishing to answer can raise their hands. There's a lot of raised hands right now. So if anyone wants to, Vice President Downey,
I think you're first. Yeah, I'm happy to answer it. Sorry, I know there's like a sea of hands right now. But the policy was only ratified by the board of directors in July. So we definitely have had some time to work on it. Unfortunately, I can only speak for my own portfolio, but a great deal of the advocacy work that we've been doing with the university has been surrounding COVID safety issues that I did not feel could rest. They did have to be addressed with the most urgent priority. But this is something that we are very much dedicated to working on for the winter semester. This is a very important policy and it deserves the utmost respect and time from myself and the rest of the executive team. And I look forward to updating everybody on progress as soon as we have it.
Thank you, Vice President Downey. Vice President Delivery, did you have something to add?
Yeah, simply on a more tangible note and simply adding on to what Vice President Downey has said, I can state for a fact that whether it be financial or logistical support, of course, the Divest for Human Rights policy was stemmed from a coalition of a lot of student groups on campus who we try to support as much as possible, whether it be logistically with things as basic as social media launches or room bookings, or financially with honorariums or purchases that they need to make. But of course, we are always looking into other initiatives that we're able to move forward to be able to take these campaigns to the next step and hold McGill accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Delivery. Councillor Javed.
Thank you. So my question is for the Vice President External. The Office of the VP External is the one mandated to pursue the advocacy against Bill 21 pursuant to the SMU motion passed in 2019. And the coalition has reached out to the Office of the VP External multiple times, both no response or acknowledgement. So my question to the Vice President External is that, could he clarify why he has been ignoring the multiple invitations from the coalition? What has he been working on to support the coalition? And lastly, how will he support the Bill 21 coalition moving forward?
Thank you, Councillor Javed. Councillor Delouvray, if you wish to answer, you may do so.
Thank you. And thank you for your question, because I do know that this stems from a very simple misunderstanding. I did receive the email from the coalition, and when I sent a response, it bounced back. And I do have a office hour scheduled tomorrow with one of the members of the coalition to be able to get back on the same page and to reiterate the SMU External Affairs' commitment to support the coalition against Bill 21. And continue the work that was actually done, a lot of impressive work that gives us a lot of institutional foundation to build off of, done by my predecessor, AO Ogunremi. So hopefully tomorrow, when I meet with one of the leaders of the coalition, we're able to find another communication method, as the email just was not going through, and we're able to move forward and reaffirm SMU's commitment towards mobilization against Bill 21. And to answer the second part of the question, that really can take any form, especially as we live in uncertain times where events in person or online really vary. But I think we're approaching a time where we can start to have a lot more in-person and recurring mobilization. So that's personally something that I'm looking forward to suggesting, and hopefully organizing. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Delouvray. Councillor Tiniakos.
Hello. So my question, I guess, is open to the executives. So as you have previously said, in this case, VP Internal, we have the responsibility to keep the executives accountable. And taking into account that precedent, this move precedent has been absent in every single legislative council meeting since the beginning of the semester. And if he is absent for the next meeting, he would have been absent for the whole semester. Is there a specific time that we should start considering after a certain period of absences that the incapabilities to fulfill the role of smooth president that we should start the impeachment process or ask for a resignation of the officer?
Thank you, Councilor Chiniakos. Vice President Delouvrier, you're the first person I see.
Thank you, and thank you for that question. It's very pertinent, and I can understand that it's a recurring concerns for not only all councillors, but the SMU membership. And before I answer the question, I really would like to reiterate that that while the president is on leave, just as anyone else, I'd like to ask that you respect his privacy, just as I would ask that you respect mine if I was on leave, no matter the reason. I can also assure you, Counselor, that the tasks within the portfolio have been equally divided amongst executives, and that the president's portfolio is running smoothly, and so are all the committees linked to it, which means that society is not feeling any negative effects, any negative ripple effects from the president being on leave. Moving forward, I think we just have to wait and see how things evolve. And while I do understand the concern of if President Dharnani is absent at next legislative council meeting, that it will have been a whole semester. But unfortunately, it really is our responsibility as individuals before it is our responsibility as executives or as counselors to pressure him into coming back. It's our responsibility as individuals to respect his privacy and respect the time that he needs for now.
Councilor Tiniakos, you had a follow-up?
Yes, so since the roles of the SMU president has been equally divided among all the executives, and it's been a semester that the president has taken for himself, then pretty much the president is serving no role in the society. So it is in his best, is it in his best interest to resign, or should legislative council proceed with an impeachment?
Vice President Downey, I will give you the floor on this.
Yeah, none of us can speak to what's best for the SMU president as he is on leave right now. And we also can't make decisions. Again, you are here to hold us accountable. We are here to hold you accountable, and we all work together in certain respects. We can't tell you what the right thing to do here is or isn't to do. All we can ask you to do is take your responsibility as an elected representative seriously in this role.
Thank you, Vice President Downey. Member of the gallery, Kim.
Hi. I submitted the question about the employee manual and specifically Article 25. And I was just, so you answered the second question was about whether it was binding or not, but I am still curious about the first question. And if you could clarify what exactly that stipulation means and what the parameters are, because right now it seems as if employees cannot talk at all to the media, even if it's not something that's like in there. Like, I understand that stipulation is there because you want the right person to speak to the appropriate thing and you don't want the society to be misrepresented by someone who's unelected, but it still feels like there shouldn't be an outright ban on speaking to the media, especially if such employees want to, you know, hold the society accountable or speak out about something that is within their own jurisdiction, you know, workplace, whatever. So I'm just wondering if anyone could clarify like the scope and the parameters of that stipulation and whether or not currently you read it as like a complete ban on speaking to media.
Vice President Delouvrier.
Thank you for your question. And I hope I can help to clarify in some sense. When SMU employees, casual or permanent staff, sign their contract, they sign a contract to fulfill a role, a job description, and a mandate. And unlike us, they're not here representing constituents. And as such, it is appropriate that they stay within the scope of their mandates and within the scope of the job responsibilities that they have to fulfill, which is why it is set as it is right now from a human resources perspective. It's just safer for the society, for the staff in question, as well as for everyone involved, if that provision exists. And I can speak personally from experiences I've had with some of our staff, where simply some of them just prefer not having their name in campus media and just prefer not being reached out to specifically in their role as X or X role within the society. And I think it's really important to underline that that provision exists for the individuals in their role within the society. Thank you.
Thank you. I also just want to remind everyone that the speaking time is 2 minutes. I do try to be like lax, but just try to keep your answers within 2 minutes. And I'm not trying to point the finger at you, Vice President Delivery, just like in general.
Thank you.
Okay. Proxy Frankeshnin, am I saying that properly? Probably not. You can correct me.
Not quite, but it was close enough.
Okay, great.
My question goes out to anyone on the exec. I've had this question from a few constituents, not just our side, but all. First off, I want to say that I'm hyped. Gertz is back, you know, there all the time. Was there for the opening, amazing. But if you do a quick scroll through the Gertz Instagram, you can help but notice that the prices are like quite a lot higher than they were back before it closed. Like Sangria Wednesdays used to be $12, now they're $17. Tall Boy Tuesdays used to be 2 for $7, you know. You'd be $10 beer pitchers and there'd be shots on Thursdays like for like $2. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not expecting BDA prices. I know there's, you know, the economy, inflation, the debt crisis, all that stuff. But I'm wondering if they're, why the prices are more expensive for students who are just trying to get a break from smooth politics or erase the memories of a failed midterm. It could be inaccessible to some.
Such an important question. Vice President Downey.
Yeah, I'm super happy to answer this because I too like to spend time at Gertz and take a little break from student government and my responsibilities here. I'm sure you're aware, but the global supply chain and the realities of it have changed a lot in the past nearly 2 years. There are just some specific goods that have gotten so expensive, and there are persistent shortages that we can't really predict. It's also been, I think, about 3 years since the bar was opened before, and there is a normal rate of inflation that's to be expected there. I understand. I too wish that I didn't have to give as much of my paycheck to Gertz when I want a big pitcher of Flood Girl Sangria, but I do think that the prices are fair to reflect just the current costs of these goods and to ensure that everything runs smoothly. I hope that helps. There's no fun way to say that you wish alcohol costs less. I think we all wish that, but this is just the reality of the world we live in now.
Very sad times. Okay, just letting you guys know there is 40 seconds left to the question period, but I am more than happy to extend it if there are more questions. Okay, Councillor Saad, you have the floor.
Actually, quick point of, I guess, order. Could we extend it by, I want to say, like 5 to 10 minutes? Or, yeah, 5 minutes?
Yes. Do we have a second for that?
A second.
Lovely. Any opposition? Great. Councilor Saad, I assume you still want to ask your question?
Yeah, and I do have a couple, so, like, it's okay if you, like, go to other people and then come back to me. But anyways, okay, so first question is, following an article in the McGill Daily, management students have now approached us asking about the president. Now, I know the executives still won't answer about the situation in particular, so I'll ask it differently. But if the president portfolio has been divided among the rest of the executives, is there a reason to keep him on as president instead of asking for a letter of resignation? Or is he like expected to potentially come back at some point?
Vice President Delouvrier.
Thank you. In regards to the second part of the question, I'm going to clarify that right now I can't speak for President Darnani in a comeback or not. What I can say is not only is the role of the president an important one at the society, the dividing of the president's portfolio was done so as to respect President Dar and Annie's leave and to ensure the smooth running of the society. But that also means that there is added work on each executive. And that also means that it was a necessity to respect the reasons for President Dar and Annie's leave. So we really just can't speak about those reasons because it's a question of privacy and honestly ethics. But what I can say is not only is it not our call to ask him for a letter of resignation, but I don't really think it's our call to question the reason for his leave, seeing as the society is running smoothly and it would only benefit the operational aspect of the society from a governance standpoint in terms of portfolio responsibilities if the president was here for his role at this time. Thank you.
Councilor Saad, you can ask your follow-up.
Thank you. So given, as you mentioned, that, you know, everything has been divided, but that the executives essentially have a full-time paid job, we can assume it's a large workload. And with all due respect, Vice President Duvivier, it isn't really feasible for a member of the executive to hold the executive to account and say that everything is still running smoothly. So is the executive open to either an external third party like audit type of process to make sure that the president's absence really isn't affecting anything? And if not, why not just, you know, begin the impeachment process?
Vice President Downey, I'll give this to you. On Sasha, sorry, you already answered the question.
Sorry, Sasha, if you do want to jump in, like, please feel free to interrupt me or ask Sarah to speak. But honestly, I think if you just have any questions about projects that you think are falling through the cracks or you want to make sure are being addressed, like, please let us know. We have divided the work among us, and Sarah has taken on a great bulk of this labor, which we're all very thankful for. She really is has taken a leadership role, and we all really, really appreciate that. But just please let us know if you have any questions about the president's portfolio or tasks that you'd like to know who's working on them or if they're being worked on. We're working very hard just to make sure that everyone takes care of something during this time.
Thank you, Vice President Downey. Vice President Delouvrier, you wanted to add something?
Yes, thank you. I also just wanted to clarify to Councilor Saad that in no way was I trying to do the role of an accountability from an accountability standpoint of our own work. And I fully respect the comment you made about that. More so what I was trying to say is that the work is getting done. I know that, for example, Vice President Pullen is in charge of governance, and I could go on and on, and that a solution was found about this. Now, in regards to accountability itself and external auditing, that the same way that I can't be the judge on my own accountability, it is not my call to make, it is actually the council's call to make. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Saad, if you don't mind, I'm gonna go to the next person and then come back to you. Member of the gallery, Popple. Sorry if I didn't say that right.
No, that's correct. First of all, I'd like to thank the executives for your statement. It is somewhat reassuring, but I am left with some concerns because it seems like the executive's first instinct is to restrict who the press can and cannot talk to rather than bringing their concerns directly to their employees. Clearly, you're concerned about employees speaking on issues they're not qualified to speak about or that they'll compromise their own privacy, which is a valid concern. But out of the employees that I've spoken with, none were aware of the article in the employee manual regarding interactions with the press. I've had a couple employees claim they didn't even receive the employee manual. And furthermore, the emails sent to casual employees didn't mention that employees have the right to request anonymity from journalists. So to be clear, if a source requested to remain anonymous, I would not publish their job position or their name. So with that in mind, I'm wondering if you think you have properly informed employees of their right to privacy and dignity. And in general, if you think that the executive committee has sufficient knowledge about just how journalism works to be directing employees on these issues. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Vice President Delouvrier.
Yeah, thank you for your question. And thank you also for clarifying something that I know has been on my mind about respecting anonymity. That's very reassuring, especially considering what we've learned over the last few days. In regards to whether employees or not are informed, employees are all supposed to be informed and have read and signed that manual. If it's not the case, then obviously it's something that us as executives have to look into to ensure that that due process is respected moving forward, and is something that, especially considering the claims you made, we will be looking into to ensure that everything is above board. In regards to our general knowledge about the press, this being a student union, of course, we're always learning and learning on the go, particularly considering that we have 1-year terms. I can assure you that, especially in the last week, we've learned plenty and are always trying to learn, and much more importantly, are always open to communications with campus media so as to ensure that there's nothing lost in translation. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Delivrier. Councillor Kwasi, your question.
Hi, thank you. So while voting for the Smooth Fall Referendum 2.0, I noticed that the McGill Student Union Democratization Initiative policy was adapted to our referendum. And I just wanted to ask how it was, since it wasn't approved by Legislative Council.
I can answer that question if no one else wishes to. There's another way to add a question to the referendum, and that's if it's student initiated. So everything that is counselor initiated goes through Legislative Council, but if it's initiated by students, there needs to be like a certain amount of signatures that you need to bring it to referendum. And this had all of the proper qualifications to bring it to referendum. So that's why it was on, and it was all approved and reviewed by the CEO, who is the person who's in charge of elections at SMU. Councillor Tiniakos, your question.
Yes, so just stating something first, our concern is not that the duties of the president are not being done. We're glad that the executives have taken up to this role and have accepted all the extra work. Our concern is that the person who should be doing such duties is not present. And in fact, curiously enough, has not been present in any SMU, has not been involved since the moment that the Daily published the article about sexual violence and silence within the SSMU. Now, regarding a once art senator, now president, now executive, sorry. So what purpose does the SMU president serve today if all his duties are being done by someone else and he has been an absent for the whole fall semester?
Vice President Delouvrier.
Thank you. And I promise I'm going to try my best to answer the full scope of the question. First of all, I'd like to just remind everyone, like I have been the last few answers, that really respecting the president's privacy is important. But the reason I'm doing it once again is because this goes beyond the privacy. All of us are, most people here are seen as counselors by their constituents, and we're seen as executive by their constituents, but we all remain humans who get tired or excited, happy, sad, like anybody else on any given day. And I think it's very important to keep that in mind when answering this question. That being said, you've mentioned the impeachment process earlier. That is not ours to start. That is not ours to speak on. That is the council's or the constituents of the society. In regards to the role that the president serves, we must remember that the president was elected with a majority against two other candidates by the constituents of the society, who also elected all of us and all of you. And so at this time, it's simply our role to ensure that the democratic process was respected until further further decisions, further measures are taken. Regarding the fact that the president has been on leave from all his SMU capacity since that article about since that daily article came out is a coincidence of dates, as far as I'm aware, and is not something I can explain any further, even though I totally understand the optics and the reason why you've had questions about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Member of the gallery, Eve Cable.
Hey, yeah, so I'm employed by SMU as a casual employee in a few capacities, and I'm just a bit confused as to why we seem to be allowed to talk to campus media when it's a positive thing and not when it's a negative thing. There's obviously been several articles historically where both permanent and casual employees have been talking about positive things that have been happening in their portfolio. So it seems a bit inconsistent to require us to not be able to talk when it's something negative. And I'm feeling like that's kind of impeding the transparency of the organization. I want to be able to tell campus media if I think something is wrong in my portfolio too.
I'm trying not to answer questions to ask to like act as an impartial chair, but if no other like vice president feels comfortable, I can take it. I just like want to say like commissioners are sometimes allowed to talk to the media if it goes through like your portfolio, like if like we feel like you are more capable than we are, and if there has been this discrepancy, it has not been noticed. I really don't know how to answer that question apart from that. And if there's no other comments, we'll move on. Okay, Councillor Saad, I'll go back to you. It's been a while.
Thanks. So my next question, let me just find it in the sea of questions that I have here. Okay, perfect. So basically, if the president's portfolio has been divided among the rest of the executives, can we essentially get a breakdown on who's taking which responsibilities and how the structure is going here on out?
Yes, you can. So basically, if you look on the SMU website, you'll see that there are like three prongs. So the first one is governance, which basically all falls under me now. So if there's anything related to governance, that all comes under my portfolio. Anything that falls under advocacy and representation falls under the Vice President UA's portfolio, as it was a collaborative effort before anyways. So it's all just been taken on by Vice President Downey. And obviously the whole idea of spokesperson for the society is taken on by all of XCOM. So now everything's just, you know, approved by all of the executives, and all of our communiques are sent by the executive committee. So that's how we've divided it. If you want like more information about like what falls under governance and what falls under like advocacy and representation, you can look on the website. I don't have them all listed on top of my head, but that's how it's been divided. I'm sorry, Eve, did you have a follow-up? I'm sorry if I skipped you.
No, sorry, I will put my hand down my back.
No worries. Sequoia, Kim, you can go.
Hi, thank you. So just a quick follow-up to some of the questions that have already been asked, but the executive seems to have said in their responses that SMU employees under any circumstance are not permitted to speak to the press. Is this true? So if a SMU employee approaches a campus newspaper about something that does not trespass any other portfolios, that does not speak outside of their role, say they have a personal grievance, will they be allowed to speak to press? And I'm more wondering, like, is this true? Is this how the policy is to be interpreted? Under no circumstance.
Vice President Delivery.
Thank you, and I'll try to answer to the best of my ability, but I believe, especially concerning the Vice President's Pollen has taken over governance, she might have to add on. I would just like to reiterate my point before I yield to Vice President Pollen that staff at the society is really here to fulfill a mandate and a job description, and that is why such a provision exists. Like I said earlier, fulfilling this mandate is their number one concern, and then the concern of the publicization of the society and speaking to media, or whether it be campus media or not, go more generally towards spokespeople of the society. Of course, I'm sure that Vice President Pollen might be able to add a little bit more and clarify.
I think that was very well answered.
Thank you.
There is just like the issue of confidentiality too. Like mentioned, like SMU is a kind of like a corporation as well. And that is something that needs to be kept in mind. Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. 2 weeks ago at Legislative Council, a councillor amended several fee renewal and fee increase motions in an effort to improve financial transparency and to improve informed decision-making come referendum time. However, on the referendum ballot, 5 of the 6 fees that were involved in the and these amendments did not provide budgets on their ballot. Why did this happen, and how do we plan on addressing this current issue? Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to note for the minutes that the proxy for Councillor Javed has arrived. The proxy is Aiden Chan, and this was at 6:56 p.m. Just noting it for the minutes. Sorry, we'll go back to our question period. Vice President Delouvrier.
Thank you for your question, Councillor Wan. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you moved those amendments. So thank you for moving those amendments, as I actually agreed with them. I'm not the VP Finance, but I think I'm just going to take this opportunity to reiterate what Vice President Sater had stated, is that considering the short amount of time until referenda period, as much as this was a great initiative that we were going to try to incorporate, it was not necessarily the most feasible thing to do, and that Election SMU, as well as whomever else was involved and relevant to this, would try their best to incorporate to incorporate that in the referendum questions. It so happens that this was not possible, but that it gave us a great idea and a great initiative when writing referendum questions for the winter referendum, and even to make it as a best practice moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Delouvrier. Councillor Saad.
Thank you, and I promise this is the last question about the president. So as I understand it, SMU execs get paid a considerable salary of tens of thousands of dollars annually. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's possible that the Vice President of Finance could answer this best. But regardless, that's still thousands of dollars of student money. So my question is, under an impeachment process, what would happen to that salary? And is there a difference in terms of those funds between impeachment or resignation?
Vice President Delouvrier.
Thank you. And just before I begin my answer, I would like to urge you to maybe reiterate it at our next meeting when the Vice President of Finance is here, or even to send him an email. However, what I can answer is that when an executive position is left vacant, because it is vacant and no one is occupying it, these funds, which are public and total to $32,000 per executive, whatever funds would be left, say if an executive resigned tomorrow, out of that $32,000 would not be actively paid anymore. What precedent has shown within the society is that if no one is appointed to replace that executive, and that the workload has to be broken down amongst other executives or counselors, there was the option to give a bonus to the people to who it was appointed, to give a bonus to the people who were appointed to take on parts of the portfolio. However, if someone else were to be appointed, it would be my belief that that person would receive the salary. Thank you.
Thank you. Member of the gallery, Popple.
Thank you. I have a follow-up to VP Delouvrier's answer, although any executive can answer this. I do understand that institutional memory is hard to maintain year to year, especially when you have one-year terms, but frankly, executives should be aware of the scope of their portfolios just while they're running for the position, certainly once they have started occupying their position. And a proper understanding of this scope would entail also the knowledge that the press is autonomous from the SMU. But anyways, if institutional memory is, you think, the primary reason that this exchange ended up playing out the way it did, I am wondering if SMU executives are at all interested in establishing some sort of infrastructure or policy that will work to inform elected officials about the relationship between SMU and the press. Thank you.
Vice President Downey.
Yeah, I absolutely think because the incumbent executive team does train the incoming executive team to help support them. I do think that making sure that we are clear with them about how to best support staff and how to best communicate with the media to ensure that points come across in the clearest and best way. I think this should definitely be a part of our training. The communications department does do a comprehensive training at the beginning of it, but that's not the same thing as suddenly being in the role that we're in as a semi-public facing elected individual. So I apologize if I misinterpreted the question. I feel like I'm probably missing part of it, but I do think this is an important thing to highlight in the training for future executives.
Yeah, and if, just to add on, Vice President Downey, if you don't mind, if the campus medias feel like they would be more qualified to like give this kind of training, that's definitely something that can be arranged in the future through either a policy, if that is something that you guys feel is worthwhile. Okay, so we actually elapsed a question period, but if there is a motion to extend, I will take it because there's a lot of questions and I wanna make sure that everyone has the time to ask their questions and have them properly answered. So if there was a motion, you can just like speak up because there's like hands already up. So if you have a motion, just like say it.
Motion to extend by 5 minutes.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Thank you, Councillor Saad and Councillor Wan. It has been, are there any opposition? Lovely. Okay, Councillor Tiniako, sorry, I was about to call you.
Yes, further elaborating on Councillor Saad's question, is the president getting paid during his absence?
Vice President Downey?
Any information about compensation during a period of leave is confidential. I apologize.
Sorry, could I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
So for us to handle, to hold executives accountable, I understand that we need to know what's going on, but since it's confidential, could this be further discussed in a confidential meeting with Legislative Council, since we don't know anything?
Yes, Vice President Delouvrier.
Thank you. At this time, it is my belief, and I would like to open the floor to any executive to correct me if I'm wrong, but it is my belief that terms under which President Dharnani is on leave under ensure that the entire scope of his leave is confidential, especially because this pertains to human resources matter and to an individual's personal information. And while I fully understand where you're coming from and the concern, and while I can say that I would have the same concerns if I was in your shoes, at this time, this is someone's personal information. It's and it's really an HR matter, so it's not our place to disclose anything, whether we know it or not.
Thank you, Vice President. I was going to call you Vice President Downey. You're Vice President Delouvrier. Councillor Wan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And thank you very much for the earlier answer to my previous question. I have a quick follow-up. So seeing as there is a discrepancy or an incongruency between the motion passed at Legislative Council and at board regarding the demands for the campaign managers and what they actually brought forth at referendum, were the demands ever brought forward? Were they ever communicated to the campaign managers that they were required to have a budget for a referendum? Or was this not directly communicated with them? Thank you.
Vice President Downey.
I think this question would be better addressed perhaps in an email to the parliamentarian or to the speaker or even to the governance manager, just to ensure that like up-to-date information about motions and discussions at Legislative Council, who they're conveyed to, that is typically the job of someone in one of those roles.
Yes, we all miss Vice President Seder right now. Councillor Saad.
Thank you. So I'm not sure if anyone was aware of this. I kind of just found out about it, but there was apparently an Abolish SMU protest last night in front of the Roddick Gates. I don't have much info on it, but I was wondering if anyone knows what was going on and whether this was a McGill students-led thing or what it is in relation to exactly.
Vice President Downey?
I have no information on this. I had heard a rumor about it, but the right to protest peacefully is very important in Canada. And I hope that if anyone has any, anyone from the protest has anything that they would like to convey to SMU, that we do hear about it so that we can respond. But there's nothing wrong with people voicing their opinions about SMU.
Vice President Olivia, do you have something to add to that?
Yes. Thank you. And just adding on and underlining what Vice President Downey said about the right to protest, I think all of us executives would really urge whomever was involved, because I myself don't know much about it, either to come forward so that we can open up discussions, find out more about the content of the protest and why it was organized, and maybe if you can put concerns to rest or maybe work with the people involved to remedy what they believe needs remedying. Really, we urge you to reach out to us because we'll be more than happy to speak with you.
Thank you, Vice President Delouvrier. There are still 4 minutes left to the question period. So if anyone else has any other questions, please feel free to do so. There have been quite a few questions, but we have this time for a reason. Yes, member of the gallery, Popple.
Thank you again. I would just like some confirmation on a small detail. I was told several times last week that SMU employees are contractually obligated not to speak with the press, but we've spoken to a handful of employees, none of whom have been able to confirm that such a mandate is in their contract. Additionally, since I think November 4th, the executives haven't made mention of a contract. They've just referenced the employee manual. So I'm wondering if there's any way that you could confirm that such a contractual clause does or does not exist. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So the employee manual is a contract that they have to sign. So that's what we mean by contractually obligated. And it's been in the employee manual for years. So if the employees don't know about it, it's they haven't read their contract. And it is also in the, all employees must sign this per our IRS of governance, which can be found on our websites. It has always been in our contracts. And if that wasn't respected in the past, then that was a breach of their contract. So I hope that answers your question. Okay, seeing none, we'll move out of question period and into our reports by committees. Councilor Tiniakos?
I was wondering if I could motion to have move the confidential session to right now before the reports by committees.
That is in order. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Is there any opposition? Vice President DeLuvier?
I oppose.
I was just reminded of the Roberts rules that in order to suspend the rules, it requires a 3/4 in favor. So I guess I can like create a quick little poll. Councillor Saad?
Yeah, point of, I think, order. I just realized it would be a little difficult to do that because there are members who aren't members of the gallery who aren't councillors. So they would have to leave and then come back for reports, and it would be a bit complicated.
That is true. But we could notify them when we're back in public. But so, yes, Vice President Downey.
With the polling feature, you're right that it doesn't allow you to differentiate between like someone who has a voting right and a member of the gallery. I think this is why the Google form is usually created. Could I perhaps motion for a 5-minute recess like to create a form and we can vote on whether or not we would like to suspend the rules and move it up?
Yes, but Councillor Saad, do you remove your second?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, so I need another seconder.
Okay, please. Then never mind. My bad.
Councillor Wan?
I'll second it.
Okay, are we in favor of like a 5-minute recess, about 5-minute recess so I can create this Google form?
I second that.
Oh, I need someone to move it. I can't move a motion.
I can move or second.
Okay, so I'll get...
Do the other.
Okay, so we'll say Vice President Downey moved, Vice President Jose Cubilla seconded. Okay, we are on a 5-minute break. So stay near, but if you need to like use the washroom, get a glass of water, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay, so we will now go into voting. The way you can find this is to go into the shared drive and go into like the today's meeting, and there'll be voting directions for counselors, and the link can be found on that that document. Proxy Parsons.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to have my hand up. Sorry, sir.
If anyone has difficulties finding it, please let me know and I'll direct message it to you. Yes, Vice President Downey.
I'm on the form now and it says the form is no longer accepting responses. It may just be my email, but I cannot vote.
I think it just needs to be opened, like accepting responses. So you might just need to refresh it in like a couple seconds. But yeah, let me know if it continues.
It's open now. Thank you.
Okay, lovely.